Hi, I'm Ben Richardson, and you're listening to the Karate Podcast, where we talk about karate, the competitive sport of Kumite, and the warrior's journey. Brought to you in association with Kumite Coach, the world's first progressive online high-definition coaching platform, created by coaches and fighters for coaches, fighters, and students of karate. Join KumiteCoach.com today and take your karate to the next level. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Karate Podcast. I'm really excited to have with me today Jory Chater, who, as you'll know, is the assistant national Kumite coach alongside Satinder Sira and Dean Lowe. And Jory has represented the EKF himself in the national team, winning an under-21s European medal, and was also British champion multiple times, as well as being English champion multiple times in his career, and was part of the senior world medal winning team in 2006. Later in 2016, Jory went on to open his own club in Coventry under Kaisho. So Jory, thanks so much for being with us today. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on board.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. So Jory, tell us first of all, what events led you to finding karate and what in particular kept you in the game?
Finding karate was relatively a simple decision. A guy that used to work with my dad, his son did it. And my dad was looking for something for me to do. So yeah, he sent me to karate with his colleague's kid. That was in Birmingham. And yeah, I started training, loved it. Absolutely loved it. Started competing quite early with them. I never looked back, never stopped training. There was a few stumbling blocks along the way. We moved into the countryside. So I had to change clubs, change groups, a lot of traveling involved in the training. I'm not sure why I continued at that point to stick with it, because like I said, the efforts of my parents at that time to get me to the classes, I think the class was like, we lived in Shropshire and the class was something like 40 minutes away.
Yeah.
And they'd take me two or three times a week. But I think it was just the only thing that I loved. So they kept me going. And then it was with that club in Hereford under Tom Beardsley where I first got my first England cap at 16.
Wow. So was your club a traditional club or was it a sport club?
I think it was a traditional club that was probably looking to transition into the competitive side of things.
Yeah.
There was a young instructor there called Paul Jones, who really pushed the competing side quite hard. And obviously I took to that like a duck to water. I really enjoyed that side of things. But at that point, we'd moved back to Coventry.
Right.
But I continued. So my mum, bless her, would drive me to Hereford two or three times, to the point where the commitment level had been done at such a massive extent that we just stuck with it.
Yeah.
Like I said, that was where my competitive journey really took place there.
Fantastic. And I think it's as Johnny Wilkinson said, that you know, his parents played a massive role in his competitive career because they were the ones that took him places. I know when I was growing up, I lived in the sticks in Northumberland and I had a 40-minute drive to my karate club as well. Eventually, because the local one shut down, that was sort of 10 minutes away. But I was going there 3 to 4 times a week, particularly as, you know, got up towards black belt. And I was really keen to, you know, achieve that, obviously, as a young person. And it always makes me smile today when I have kids coming to my academy from 10 minutes away who find that a long journey to make.
So, yeah.
Times have changed. So could you tell us a bit about the era you grew up in competitively and what was it like, you know, to be meddling at the age of 16?
Well, the club in Hereford that we joined, I didn't stay there very long once I'd been picked for England. I went, like I said, as we moved back to Coventry anyway, I then started training under an instructor called Sensei Mickey Duffus. And that was, you know, that was where my competitive karate really, really got serious. I'd gone from being a big fish in a small pond to a small fish. You know, there was a lot of people at the club that were, you know, could really give me a run for my money.
Yeah.
And at that point then as well, I'd started training with Wayne Otto as well, who is probably, you know, one of my biggest idols in this game. I started driving down and training with him once a week as well. But yeah, the actual competitive side for me in that time, you know, was probably the best time, you know, the best time ever. We had massive, you know, massive competition in each category. You know, it was, so to be a part of that team, you know, the medal that I won in as a junior, as the under 21, was a team bronze medal. And I think we were one of the very few teams that had done that as an under 21 group. I think the other team before that was probably like Leon and Craig, yeah. Craig Burke, I think it was them. But to win a medal at a young age, yeah, it was great. Yeah. And for me, I was always more of a team fighter than an individual fighter anyway. You know, if you ask me which I'd rather do, I'd say team.
Yeah.
I loved the team event, you know. Some of my greatest memories, you know, with competitive karate has always been team. I don't really have many, you know, I have lots of memories as an individual fighter, but none of them that jump out as much as the team events.
Yes. Fantastic.
Because, yeah, it was, like I said, winning that, the under 21, it was a Europeans under 21 team medal. And then the senior team was it was such a great team, a great lineup we had. And to stand next to the likes of Rory, you know, Davin, Alton it was amazing. Best time ever. Best time ever.
Yeah, I bet. And so you mentioned Wayne Otto, someone you trained under. Were there other big influences in your competitive career? And did they change at all?
Yeah. I'll start with my club instructor, you know, Sensei Mickey Duffus, because I think he's probably one of the most unheard of instructors going. But he, at one point in his club, he had seven England internationals at that one time when I was there, you know, which was a big feat in them days.
Yeah.
So I would start with him. Sensei Tiki Donovan, you know, for me with him, how much he believed in me was probably one of the big things that really, you know, really pushed me, you know, especially in that team situation. You know, he really, you know, saw that was a strong point for me and pushed me in that massively. So Tiki Donovan, obviously he was pretty much my coach under all of my whole England career, from the age of 16 to 24. You know, he was my coach the whole time. And then Willie Thomas, you know, Willie Thomas was my regional coach, and we won the European medal to do that for the regions. And yeah, he was a massive, massive part in me as well. You know, individually, the three of them, Wayne, Tiki and Willie, they all played different roles. You know, like I says, Wayne was the person that I just wanted to be like, you know, and push myself to be like. Tiki believed in me, you know, a lot. And Willie, he knew how to get the best out of me. You know, he knew how to push my buttons and get the best out of me.
Yeah, what a great combination to have.
Yeah, it was great. You know, honestly, they were massive parts of my life, all three of them.
Yeah, brilliant. And so what was your approach to fighting? And do you feel it differed to your other teammates at that time as you were coming through?
I think the issue with me was I don't think I was probably technically the best. You know, I grew up with Alton. You know, we would train together a lot and compete together a lot. And we pushed each other. But technically, I found I don't think I was technically the best, but I made up for it in determination and heart. And that was where I think, you know, my massive, and that's probably why I was a better team fighter, because, you know, I was all about the team, you know, England, team, I'm not letting them down. And that's what, you know, some fights I probably had no right to win, you know, the people I was fighting against. but I would manage to pull wins out just down to determination and grit a lot of the time.
That's awesome. Do you recall any moments at all in competition or even in the training sessions you had leading up to them that changed the way you approached your preparation or changed the way you trained?
In all honesty, Ben, I've throughout my whole career, I've been quite a black and white fighter, dead straightforward. You know, my mindset was always, you know, train harder than anyone else's. You know, sometimes my dad would laugh at me. I'd get up at 3 or 4 in the morning and go for a run, and he'd be like, "What are you doing?" I'd be like, "Well, no one else is doing it." And that's how Wayne did it. So that's what I wanted, you know, and that, you know, that was my mindset. Always just try and do more than, you know, more than anybody else.
Yeah.
My very first European Championships at 16, I went there not fit. I didn't know what to expect, you know, which I'm pretty sure most people, you know, when they go away for their first trip, they don't know what to expect. And I did vow to myself after that trip, you know, I would never turn up, you know, to represent England again, not prepared ever. Yeah. So, yeah, always worked my absolute backside off to make sure I was in the best shape, you know, as best as possible. Yeah, and it was tough sometimes as well, because obviously I'd do heavyweight sometimes, and I was a very small heavyweight. Obviously, yeah. Back then it was plus 80 kilos, and I was borderline 79. But if Leon didn't go, for example, Tiki would ask me to jump, you know, would ask me to do it, and it was like, okay, you know, I'll have a go.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, you had to have a different kind of mindset to be able to do that at such a small weight. It was definitely tough.
So as someone who's been focused on, you know, the conditioning side of fighting, and I know, as you know, when I used to compete, and I've mentioned it in interviews before, when you step on that line, you know how much preparation you've put in for a fight, you know how much training you've done, it all sort of comes to the forefront. Is that something you instruct your fighters in or push them toward understanding that need for conditioning?
Yeah, I mean, 100%, it's about going to tournaments with no regrets, man. You know, you leave the competition kind of going. Could I always try and stress to my athletes, you know, win or lose, you know, please never leave a tournament, you know, doubting whether you did what you could do.
Yeah.
Always leave there going, there's always going to be stuff to work on, don't get me wrong, there'll always be stuff to improve on and everything else. But at that present time, you did everything you possibly could. Then you go back, you study the results and what happened, and then you find out if there's anything else you can add to that. And then again, you make sure you hit that every single time.
Yeah, fantastic.
I just feel like you step on a mat with a different kind of confidence when you believe that you've done everything you possibly can.
Yes. Yeah, I think that confidence comes out of that physical, you know, prowess and knowledge that you have.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Are there any standout moments in your competitive career for yourself? What stands out over the years as like a highlight for you?
The bronze world senior team medal for me is the biggest, you know, because I was quite young. I was probably one of the youngest in the team. And it will live with me, you know, live with me forever, because like I said, we came up, we had to beat France in that situation as well. We took out some big teams in that, to secure that bronze. And, one of the Turney twins at that point, you know, she said something, she said something to me at the end of it, and, you know, it'll stay with me forever. You know, she said, you know, Jory, your name would be the first name in every single one of my teams. And that was for an athlete like, you know, Juliet to say that to me was probably one of the biggest compliments, you know, I could have had. So that would probably be my biggest standout, yeah.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. So when did you start to look towards coaching, and what then led you from, you know, being a coach towards the national team?
Well, like I said, I walked away from karate after Japan 2008. At that point, the funding and stuff stopped, and it just wasn't going to be viable for me to continue.
Yeah.
I tried a couple of other things. I tried kickboxing, had a look at MMA, tried a couple of different things. Nothing sat with me like, you know, like the sport karate did. And then at that time, I ended up meeting my current partner. And her two boys wanted to get involved in a martial art.
Yeah.
And I just searched which was the closest club to me at that time that was EKF affiliated. And they just happened to be a club that was literally 30 seconds down the road.
Nice.
So that was how it happened. We went down there. At first, I kept quiet. I didn't even participate. My two boys started training. Yeah. It's Black Sun Karate. That was who the club was called. My two boys started training. And slowly, I started, oh, can I join in? You know, can I do a bit? And obviously, they got to know me and got to see what I was around. And then eventually, I started teaching a kumite class for them.
Fantastic.
And then what I found started happening was the same drive that I had for competing started to come into my teaching. And then what the issue became then, that just competing at, you know, 5-6 tournaments in UK a year wasn't going to be enough to fulfill the need that I had.
Yeah.
To push this on. So that was when I opened up my own club then, you know, me and the instructor there, Andy Mug, we still get on great, you know, we parted ways on good terms.
Yeah.
And he was really happy to see me back into it, you know, and see me pushing it. And yeah, we set up a club, and that's where I joined Kate, because Keijo had already been founded by Ben Campbell.
Yeah.
And I just happened to speak to him and say, look, I'm looking to do this. Have you got any advice? And the rest is history, Ben. That was it. We within about 3 months, I was up and ready to go under the K-Show banner. And yeah, we were rocking and rolling. I think in the first year, we went abroad about 4 times and competed.
Oh, fantastic.
Started with a very, very small club. Very small club. And obviously, it's just grown and grown and grown. It's been great.
Yeah. And it seems like a really positive and successful association on many levels, you know, not just the results you get at competition, but the guys I've spoken to are part of it, great people and a real positive attitude towards, you know, British karate.
We're still a relatively new small group, you know, myself, Ben and Rory. But what we, and then also realize there's a whole nother part of it as well. And that's been quite interesting to do it the other way around. You know, some people, they build their club up first and then the competitors and stuff come second. Yeah. To do it the other way around, the way we've done it, you know, for me as an instructor, it's been very interesting to do that. It's refound my love of the traditional side of it as well.
Yeah.
Which, in all honesty, when I was competing, it wasn't there for me. You know, that time I actually set up my club. You know, in all honesty, again, I was only really interested in the competition side of things.
Yeah.
But it's only when you start getting students come through the door and you start, and they don't all want to be fighters. You know, they don't all want to compete.
Yeah.
And you start seeing that, oh, actually, I can still have a positive spin on their life, though. Not necessarily through competition, but through the arts. And that really, you know, really kind of re-found my love for actual traditional karate as well, which has been great.
That's fantastic. And what led you towards the EKF national team?
It's just been a progressive journey. Like I said, so I had a good few results with athletes, obviously Neve Cosgrove winning the European Championships and a few other athletes that have been selected and stuff. And then Willie asked me to, it started with a regional role.
Yeah.
Willie asked me, because at that time he was the national coach. He asked me if I would mind having working with Paul Harris,
yeah.
At the Midland region. He asked myself and Ben, we both took on that role. Worked really well with Paul, really enjoyed it. And yeah, it's just been a natural progression since then. I think it helps. Obviously, I'm one of the probably very active coaches on an international circuit.
Yeah.
I do, you know, I still do believe that, you know, to have successful athletes, you've got to be current in the international scene. So I am very active in that. I think that's helped me on my journey, definitely.
Yeah, great. And what experience and understanding do you feel you bring to the athletes in the national squad based on your own career?
I think for a long time, England has been we hope we do well country. You know, we kind of lost that. We are going to do well. We went back to our, we hope we're going to do well.
Yeah.
And I think I bring to the table, basically, that's just not going to be acceptable. We're going to have to go and do well.
Yeah.
And I think then with the way I push that across, I hope it comes across to the athletes that, you know, that I believe in them. And I believe they can go and do well with this current team that we've got. And then this touch wood so far, they seem to be going and doing the work.
Yeah. I mean, they're fantastic Commonwealth Championships as a national squad. What I wanted to also ask you, how do you feel the Olympics impacted UK karate, and following on from that, also the results from the Commonwealth? Do you feel that has given some impetus to the athletes and given them some belief back about what we can achieve as a nation?
I think the Olympics was great for karate, obviously. But as far as England go, I think the big issue I noticed with England was I think it made a group of elite athletes that was too far ahead of the other athletes, or they felt it was, the gap was too big.
Right.
And that was kind of what I felt when I went to a few of the national sessions as an assistant, just to help with the region. You found that this, you know, a group of athletes that no one else would be willing to go and train with or work with, because they felt the gap was just too big.
Right.
And the problem with that creates is medal expectancy becomes one athlete or two athletes only.
Yeah.
You know, where England for me wasn't based on that. You know, England was based on a team going, and we would say we expect a number of medals, but it could be multiple different people that go and achieve their medals.
Yeah.
And that's something that I definitely hope that I hope to try and bring back with the national team, you know, that level of depth, you know, that we have within the squad, where we just have to put a number of medals down, not necessarily who's going to go and win their medals.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think it was a lot of pressure on that team, you know, that team that went to, you know, that were working towards the Olympics, that achieved a massive amount already. And I think it was a massive amount of pressure on them.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
To burden that, you know, Jordan, you know, I speak to Jordan, you know, I spoke to him the other week, and, you know, every time he's going away to be like, oh, I think Jordan's going to get this. I think Jordan's going to do this. You know, imagine having to deal with that pressure, you know, is your name being the one that people keep saying.
Yeah.
You know, we want to get England back to where, you know, everyone's name's on that list.
Yeah.
You know, for a potential. That's what I want anyway. That'd be my dream.
Yeah. I mean, the Commonwealth Championship, you know, brought home a lot of medals from there. What was that experience like?
The Commonwealth was amazing. I expect them kind of levels at the Commonwealths. For an England team that we're trying to build, like I said, that can be competitive at European and world level, you know, the Commonwealth for me was that was expected. What stands out massively for me this year, Ben, is like I said, at the junior Europeans, the senior Europeans, the Commonwealths, you know, there's been medals at every major.
Yeah.
And the junior worlds, you know, for me, that is probably one of the biggest standouts for us that we can say this year, you know, that as a nation, we've took a medal at every major.
Fantastic.
And I think if we'd have had the two Europeans that we had and didn't do as well as we did at the Commonwealth, I think we'd have been shaking our heads a little bit, like, what's gone wrong there?
Hmm. So things seem to be headed in the right direction, despite the challenges we face.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think it's a new year. It's going to be a new 2023 is going to be a different year. Again, I'm only talking about me personally. Like, people ask me, what's your plan for next year? My plan for next year as a coach is dealing with the fact of pressure of medal expectancy now. Not medal hope, medal expectancy.
Yeah.
And as a coach, club coaches, we expect that all the time. But, you know, as part of the national setup, you know, I feel for a while it's been hope, not more than expectancy. And this year is going to, 2023 is going to be a big year. People are going to be expecting medals. And I feel the team will deliver. You know, I think we've got a good team.
Yeah. And what a great place to be in where that is now the case, as opposed to, like you say, the hope before. What coaching, if any, do our athletes get towards the psychological aspects of competition? How do you help them cope with that sense of pressure where, like you say, there might be now expectancy for achievement as opposed to hope. Do you feel that's an important part of coaching?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think you, I mean, what you'll notice over this last, this year, a lot of the athletes right from the ages of 12 upwards, you know, have been a lot more active on the international circuit this year, which I think has had a, you know, a real positive effect on them, on the way they come back and fight in the UK. You know, yeah. I see a whole different load of confidence now, you know, with the athletes. They don't seem nervous to throw, you know, throw attacks, you know, and I only, I can just put that down to, you know, competing regular at, you know, at high level. So a lot of the psychological stuff, I feel like the athletes are learning to take on themselves.
Yeah.
For me, mine is more motivational, you know, that I'm bring, you know, that I look to bring to the table, you know, by the time they come to us, Ben, to the trip, you know, the work has been done by themselves, their club instructors, and then, you know, in their associations. I think one thing they really get to see with us as national coaches now that we, you know, we've been following them the year, we've been following their process, their, you know, their track record, you know, so it's not a case of just selecting these athletes now. We genuinely believe in these athletes, you know, yeah, wholeheartedly. And the facts are in the stats show it, you know, and the work, like I said, a lot of the mental work, you know, these young kids, they're learning to do, you know, they're learning to do themselves. And I think, you know, they should all be applauded for that. You know, absolutely. when we were competing, we weren't competing for England until we were 60. These guys are doing it from 14 years old.
Yeah.
And now youth leagues are 12 years old, you know, so the responsibility these kids have, you know, is tough on them now.
Yeah. So Jory, working with a team of coaches that form the England squad and headed up by Junior, what's that been like for you as an experience, and what has it brought to your own coaching, I guess your coaching knowledge and your status as a coach?
Well, working as a team has been, you know, it's been outstanding. It's probably the best, you know, probably the best time I've had, you know, doing that as a team. It's been non-stop learning for me, which is massive. You know, I'm still really quite a young coach myself.
Yeah.
With lots to learn still. And I've learned from Junior, you know, Sat and Dina. We're all different personalities. And trying to figure out which personality suits which athletes best, you know, has been a big part of the learning. So I've learned as a coach that I need to have myself and kind of adapt something that they bring to the table as well to be an overall package as a coach.
Yeah.
I think I'm quite direct as a, you know, as a coach, quite direct. And, you know, some athletes, you know, they need a different method bringing to them.
That is
probably one of the biggest things I've learned.
And have you found that with your sort of personality type as an athlete, where you were, you know, really committed to those early mornings, that, you know, that level of focus, is that something that you've expected of your own athletes, or is it just something you've applied to the way you approach coaching?
It's something that is just with my own club athletes. It's something that's just been brought up with them. You know, they'll tell you if you ever see them, you know, if they ever tried to give me anything. When I look at my seniors that, you know, that I'm currently training, say Joby, Neve, you know, Christy, you know, Suki, them athletes now, I see that personality in them already.
Yeah.
You know, that determination. One thing that they're doing that's slightly different to, say, when I was coming up, and that's probably a mistake that I made when I was competing, I didn't have an off spell.
Yeah.
And I think that probably caused me problems in the long run. You know, I would train right through nonstop all the time.
Sure.
And I did find that when some of my seniors started to go to uni and stuff like that, you know, I was finding it difficult when they weren't, you know, if they couldn't make training and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I've learned to adapt that, you know, and I've learned to trust them as well, that they know that when it's time to get to work, you know, they get to work.
Sure.
And it's the same principle as, you know, it's the same personality that I'm trying to push onto them, you know, onto the national team as well.
And as a coach, you know, you started your club in 2016. Do you feel that your goals as a coach have changed over the past few years?
Yeah, definitely changed. When I first, like I said, first started the club, like I said, I was a very direct you know, aggressive coaching, you know, always aggressive coaching, you know, let's, you know, pushing people hard. And I've learned, like I said, some athletes, you know, do like that, but some athletes don't, you know, and I've learned to, you know, get like my own son, you know, my eldest, he did not like that approach at all. It did not work well with him.
Yeah.
And so we learned, you know, we learned a new tact. So yeah, I mean, developing all the time, because I'm still a very, you know, I'm still a young coach. Lots and lots of years left to learn and get better and better, hopefully.
It's great to see you've got your passion, you know, well and truly back for karate. What goals do you have for 2023?
On a personal note, I'd like to get another member selected for the national team.
Yeah.
On a personal note from a club. The association itself is basically moving at the pace that, you know, we're really happy with. Growing all the time, setting new challenges. You know, we've decided that 2023 may be the first year that we may have to split, as in I go to one competition, Ben and Rory go to another one. You know, it'll be the first year that's probably happened. Right. Normally we go everywhere together.
Yeah.
But the group is growing now, and the levels in the group is changing. You know, we're having people that are going to go to Vancouver, and then, you know, we may have people that only want to compete locally. You know, sure. So there's a lot to do there. On a national setup, I would like to prove that, you know, the work we're doing is not a fluke. It is work, and get medals next year. I feel if we can pull medals next year, then I believe that England will be headed back to a top 10 country. That's the plan.
Fantastic. That'd be great to see. Jory, it's been a real pleasure talking to you and meeting you. And I'm sorry about the internet trouble we had today. And I really appreciate you coming back to finish off the interview. I wish you every success for the year to come. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Been a pleasure, mate. Us.
All right, mate. Cheers, then.
Cheers.